The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey folks, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. Mother's Day is just around the corner, so head over to BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Fresh Pick Suds Flower Soap Gift Pack, straight from the soap garden to your tub. A selection of pretty flower soaps for mom in a host of delicate floral scents, and it travels in a cute little reusable vinyl bag. Only $12 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ at checkout, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
I'm here with Congressman Ron Paul, who was the 2008 presidential candidate. So tell me, who are you wearing?
Well, I don't even know, because it's pretty conventional, and I'm pretty, in that sense, pretty ordinary. But the message is not ordinary.
Do you want some champagne?
Oh, I don't care for any, no.
There's no ice bucket, but I know a good place to put it. Ha ha! Yeah, you were great in that. Have you done a lot of television before?
Oh, well, off and on throughout the years. This last year, a tremendous amount.
Sure.
A lot of them.
Do you want some strawberries or maybe some oysters?
I'm okay.
I'm going to light some candles, that's okay. It really loosens you up. Has anyone ever told you you look like Enrique Iglesias?
Mm-mm.
Of course not. You're much cuter. I love music. I'm dancing. I used to be a dancer.
Meine Häuser ist gefallen.
All right, get out of here.
What?
All right.
What's going on?
This is ended. That guy's queer than the blazes. He took his clothes off. Let's get going. He's queer as crazy. He put a hit on me. He took his clothes off.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
This is an outrage. I demand an investigation. Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
All right. It is Thursday, April 21, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best damn soap in the world. I'm Bob Seska. That's Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hello.
We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo, or you could just go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez for free legal advice. Also, if you can't remember that URL, just click the link in the podcast page. Takes you right there. You can't miss Bo Bowen sitting there on his desk with his old-timey telephone. Right there at bobseska.com. Okay. So, as we occasionally do on this show, we set aside politics when something monumental happens in pop culture, or maybe even sometimes our personal lives, and I think today we have to. I think we almost—it's almost obligatory. I think we have to talk about Prince today.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And take some good time talking about Prince and his legacy and what he means, especially to our generation, but all generations. I mean, all generations living now, I think, have been touched in some way by Prince's music.
Yeah.
Certainly Generation X. I mean, I was writing on Twitter today, in case you've been living in a box for all the entire day.
Where you're wondering why everything on Facebook is lit up purple.
That's right.
As will, I have no doubt, the Empire State Building tonight.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. Prince died today. It was one of those shocking moments where I first saw it hit my Facebook feed, I think right as it was happening,
yeah.
And I didn't believe it. I mean, I was
TMZ again, though.
Yeah, it was TMZ.
TMZ is always first. They get it's astonishing how good they are at getting information like that.
They are everywhere. In fact, there's a TMZ guy under my desk right now. He lives under there.
Is that Harvey?
I throw some M&Ms under there every once in a while.
I wouldn't put it past Harvey.
But, you know, it was one of those things where it's just unbelievable. It was unbelievable to me. I had to frantically search the internet to verify it, and it turned out to be true.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was, Bowie was a shock.
Yeah.
I couldn't even process it.
Completely unexpected. I mean, Prince, 57 years old, the guy looked like he was 32.
Yeah.
Performed like he was 32.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what else can you say about Prince other than just such an iconoclastic badass?
Yeah.
In so many ways. And the fact about it is
every single way.
Yeah. And
it's astonishing from a musical perspective. And, you know, when I wrote about it today, I said, I'm like, we tend to traffic in so much hyperbole.
Right.
In our culture, you know, this is the best this ever, or it's just literally the worst. And we do that because there's so much stimuli in the social media era that it's hard to sort of find the language that rises above and conveys what we feel. But when something big happens, it's like we don't have the real language to say it anymore, because we use that language for stupid things, for petty bullshit.
Right, exactly.
But I said, I'm like, you know what? You can say without fear of any kind of hyperbole, he was a musical f***ing genius.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He played like 30 instruments.
Yeah. His guitar playing alone. I mean, that's
extraordinary.
That's what's, I think, blowing a lot of people away today. The people who didn't realize that the guy could effing shred. I mean, among the greats. I mean, the absolute upper echelon of guitar playing.
I have no idea whether this is a true story, but something that got circulated earlier today said that at one point someone asked Eric Clapton what it's like to be the greatest guitar player in the world. He says, I don't know, ask Prince.
That's exactly right. And you can't miss the clips that are flying around social media right now. I mean, the clips of there's, of course, Prince playing a guitar solo during a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony during
My Guitar Gently Weeps.
My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Super group.
Yeah, if you see that video going around, just go right ahead to timecode 320 and listen to the rest of it, and it'll blow you away. Because, I mean, again,
listen to the solo in this song, in Let's Go Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to the solo in Purple Rain.
Right. Not studio guys. That's Prince playing. I mean, that's the thing that I think astonishes a lot of people now. Looking at Prince's life and his work, is that unlike a lot of pop stars now, unlike a lot of celebrities now, there was a lot to that iceberg. I mean, you print Purple Rain, and you know the symbol, the artist symbol that he used for a while. You know, I mean, as you've just been on the periphery of Prince's career, you know those things, but you don't realize the depth of his musical ability that was the rest of that iceberg.
Yeah. And the number of songs that he wrote for other people, the number of bands and acts and artists that he mentored throughout the years, the list is, dear God, the list is, it feels endless.
I mean, and other than the fracas with, what was it, Warner Brothers, that prompted him to change his name to The Artist or whatever to do those additional albums, he did the Emancipation album, which was a double album. Other than that bit of controversy there, I mean, his career has been basically clean. I mean, it's been all about the music and just being, again, I can think of no better word. I mean, when they talk about the word iconoclast, that word, I mean, has always, to me, been defined by Prince.
Yeah. I mean, I've, amongst all of the musicians who have existed during my lifetime, the people on this planet, there have been a lot of really, really, there have been people you can call musical geniuses. You know, I think that Bowie was a musical genius. I think Trent Reznor is a musical genius.
Yeah, exactly.
But nobody, to me, Prince is the best musician on the planet.
Yeah.
There was nobody in my lifetime better than him, period. And he sat leaps and bounds above everybody else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, another thing to look at, if you haven't seen it yet, as far as videos go and illustrating what Chez was just saying, go watch the 2007 halftime show from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It was Prince playing in the rain and what looked like basically by himself. I mean, he's out there by himself in the middle of a crowd of 100,000 people, 100 million more watching on TV, going through this this medley of his best songs. Plus, there was a Foo Fighters song in there.
Yeah.
And then ending with Purple Rain and just nailing it on the guitar. So, as always, just, I mean, if you really, really want to see a guy who can play the guitar and make it look so easy and sound so great, these are the clips that you want to look at, especially that halftime show, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. There's another clip that I saw today of Prince upstaging both James Brown and Michael Jackson on stage in 1982.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the guy was a natural, gifted performer. And I think one of his legacies is, I think he, throughout his career, has grounded pop music and, to a certain extent, hip-hop and everything in this this talent for music. I mean, because there's a lot of like studio craft that happens in music, and quite frankly, that's always been the case. It's always used whatever the latest technology was, even going back to the 60s and 70s. But Prince was a quintessential musician, and in that regard, he grounded the music industry in the basic talent that you need to play these instruments and make them all come together and sound amazing.
Yeah.
And there are so few musicians like that anymore. They seldom exist. I mean, there are a lot of course, indie musicians. We hear from a few of them on Chez's new music countdown on the After Party. But there was no one as visible and well-known as Prince who at the same time also had these chops for the construction of music, the meat and potatoes of making music. Where he could just walk up. I mean, there's this in that clip with the James Brown clip where he's up on stage with Michael Jackson and James Brown at some club somewhere, 1982. He walks up and grabs a guitar off of some other guy and just starts wailing on it. He doesn't need his own guitar. He doesn't need any special effects processors that a lot of guitarists go around with as to create their special sound.
He was someone who had a grasp of musical technology.
Yeah.
But he also had an absolute grasp of the basics.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for, I don't know. I mean, I was going to say actually that I think it's important for anybody who wants to play music now to watch that, to see that, you know what, all the studio techniques in the world aren't going to really cover you. I mean, they'll cover your bad playing to an extent,
right.
But eventually if you're a fraud, you're going to get found out. So you better learn your craft. But, you know, I also kind of hesitate on saying that a little bit because, you know, you look at the music industry right now and, all, you know, Prince got into fights with Warner and got into fights with record companies over his contract. But, Jesus, that's such small potatoes now compared to, like, artists never being paid.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just an entire generation of listeners who are like, oh, that's free. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's just it. There's been damage done to the music industry and for whatever the reasons are.
I want to say I hope Prince inspires people to go learn guitar, but I'm also like, man, don't learn guitar because honestly, you're going to starve.
That's right. And I'm laughing a bit of gallows humor there.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the reason we're talking about this and we're taking this bit of departure from politics here this afternoon is to not only honor Prince, who was one of the most influential musicians of all of rock and roll. But then I think he was so influential when it comes to Generation X. I mean, I was tweeting today about Prince, and one of the things I tweeted out there was how Prince, along with, if you were to pick a triumvirate, like a trifecta of music royalty of Generation X, at least in our early years. I mean, certainly you can add on as time went on, but I think one of the first royal trifectas in Generation X pop culture was Prince, Michael Jackson, and Madonna.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And that was that, I mean, you want to talk about a sequence of albums from 1982 through 1984. Those three recording artists created the biggest albums in, some of the biggest albums in the history of rock and roll music.
Right.
I mean, you had 1999, Prince's 1999, that came out in 1982. Michael Jackson, heavily influenced by the existence of that album. Michael Jackson was so jealous of 1999, he set out and he made effing Thriller, you know, inspired in part by Prince. And then that was followed up, that was 1983, the Thriller album. Then in 1984 was Purple Rain, which we're listening to now, which is kind of Prince's response to Thriller. They were just batting this thing back and forth. And then also in 1984 was, of course, Like a Virgin from Madonna. And then comes Born in the USA and Bruce Springsteen and his rise as far as a pop culture act beyond just being a rock star. He became a pop culture icon.
And then 1987 came Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses.
Dominated the landscape. And that was basically, as I wrote about for the magazine today, that was basically the bridge between they were the biggest band on earth when they and they acted as the bridge between 80s pop and when Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains came in and blew everybody off the map.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the two big bookends of Generation X coming to age are Purple Rain. The album slash the song. I think the song is also, I mean, one of the greatest songs ever written. It's a song, basically. It's like 9 minutes long, but I want it to go on for 20 minutes. It's one of those epic songs.
It's a perfect, perfect song.
And then the other bookend to that, I think, is Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
From Nirvana, which I think charted, I mean, the evolution between the existence of Purple Rain, the existence of an album like Thriller, or even, you know, Whitney Houston, the first Whitney Houston album. And then on through, you can kind of chart the progress of Generation X coming of age in the 80s and early 90s and in reaction to pop culture, in reaction to politics in some ways. But these are great illustrations. You want to know what Generation X is all about? That's where you look. You look at the pop culture of those times and to a certain extent how pop culture was being influenced by politics and other forms of pop culture. So Prince was right there. And of course, you know, I think a lot of talk has been mentioned in various specials and documentaries throughout the years about how groups like REM and U2 were kind of the conscience of the 80s.
Yes.
And 80s pop culture. I think to a large extent, I think you've got to include Prince in that too. While he was knee deep in sort of top 40 pop culture, he was, again, going back to what we were saying earlier, this musical giant who could pick up anything and make it sound amazing. I mean, the only other person I've seen pick up like a piece of junk off the floor and make it sound like incredible music is in It Could Get Loud, that documentary with Jack White and The Edge and Keith Richards. Is it Keith Richards in that?
No.
I'm sorry. Jimmy Page is
Jimmy Page,
there.
Right? Yeah.
And Jack White takes a couple of wires and stretches it across a board with a couple of nails, plugs it into an amplifier, and starts playing it. And it sounds like the most amazing guitar you've ever heard. And so, I mean, I could see that as being like Sir Jack White's versatility being a natural extension of Prince. There's so many influences, or so many people who have been influenced by Prince, and that. I mean, I don't know how else you could describe it. His music being, adventurous. I think in some places progressive. I mean, weirdly to say that about Prince, I think it's true.
Sure. No, sure.
I think a guy who was always pushing the bounds of what could be done in pop music to the point of, you know, with an album like Emancipation, just saying F you to the music industry and doing whatever the hell he wanted. And it still still an incredible album.
Go right after Purple Rain, you know, into the era after Purple Rain and listen to Sign of the Times.
Yeah.
Sign of the Times is one of the most experimental, cool records. And it's funny because I still hear, like when I listen to Kendrick and I hear him do that little trick where he sort of changes the register on his vocals to make it just a little bit higher so that he almost sounds like he's taking a little bit of helium. And I every time I hear it, I'm just like, oh, that's totally like, you know, If I Was Your Girlfriend. That's Sign of the Times era. Prince.
Oh, yeah. Also, here's President Obama's statement about Prince's death. Today, the world lost a creative icon. Michelle and I joined millions of fans from around the world in mourning the sudden death of Prince. Few artists have influenced the sound and trajectory of popular music more distinctly or touched quite so many people with their talent. As one of the most gifted and prolific musicians of our time, Prince did it all. Funk, R&B, rock and roll. He was a virtuoso instrumentalist, a brilliant band leader, and electrifying performer. The president also remembered Prince by quoting the musician, A strong spirit transcends rules, Prince once said, and nobody's spirit was stronger, bolder, or more creative. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family, his band, and all who loved him. So that was a nice set of remarks there from the president.
Definitely.
And, you know, I go back just real quick before we take a break. I go back to those songs. I was looking at the Billboard Top 100 from 1984. Listen to this. Listen to the top 10. You know what? Let's just go with the, let's say the top 20. Because these are, you know what? I'll revise that once again. Let's say the top 15 of 1984. Number 15, just listen to this. This is like a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, this list here. Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper at number 15. Number 14, Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen. Number 13, Let's Hear It for the Boy by Denise Williams. 12, All Night Long by Lionel Richie. 11, Missing You, John Waite. Number 10, Karma Chameleon by Culture Club. Number 9, Ghostbusters from Ray Parker Jr.
This is just hellish. I'm like, I'm freshman year again.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Number 8, Owner of a Lonely Heart from Yes. Number 7, Hello, Lionel Richie again. Number 6, Jump by Van Halen. Number 5, Against All Odds, Phil Collins. Number 4, Footloose, Kenny Loggins. Number 3, Say, 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 Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. You know what I'm hearing here as I'm reading this? I'm hearing mixtapes that I made in my bedroom recording off the radio.
I was listening to The Cure at the time and, and freaking, you know, Black Flag, so.
Because I wasn't, for whatever reason, I wasn't able to go out and buy all these albums. So what I would do is I would buy cassette tapes and then record all the songs off the radio. In fact, that's how I learned to talk on the radio, by hearing all these songs with the radio intro, with the radio guy intro. Number 3 was Say, 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 Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. Number 2, What's Love Got to Do With It by Tina Turner. And number 1, When Doves Cry by Prince. That's a hell of a goddamn list right there. Jesus. All right, so we may talk about Prince as the time as we crank through the show here, but I got to say one last thing before we break, and I swear this is one last thing. The first time I got a little choked up today after hearing about Prince's death was when I saw when the tweet came down that MTV interrupted all of its programming today and
to play videos
at about 1:30 this afternoon. Started playing Prince videos.
It takes Prince's death to get MTV to finally play videos again.
But talk about power! I mean, that's the ultimate thing. Prince was so powerful and has such a legacy that he got MTV to start playing videos again. And on top of all of that, one of the greatest things was observing Twitter and Facebook. Suddenly, everyone's just talking about how they were influenced by music, talking about how great Prince's music was, you know, just talking about music. And it was so refreshing, especially after all the sturm and drag about the, you know, the presidential contest and everything that's going on in politics, to see everybody just talking about music and remembering Prince and coming together around that commonality, I thought was really touching. And satisfying. So
I was doing somewhat okay for the first, I don't know, first couple of minutes, but all it took was putting on Purple Rain.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was the opening chords of that song just destroyed me.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. I mean, and that, again, one of the greatest songs ever recorded, and I wish, whenever I hear it, I wish it would just keep going on and on and on and on. All right, let's talk about shaving razors and come back with more show here. Oh, Harry's Razors, the best thing ever. There's really no reason to shave before a podcast, but I actually do, nearly every time we do a show. It's no longer a thing I dread, by the way. I don't have to worry about razor burn or paying too much for excellent blades. That's because my Harry's Razor feels as good in my hand as it does on my face, and for all that quality, it's really, really affordable. And those German-engineered blades, for months now, I've been telling you about how I'm getting a shave every bit as good as I ever got with the big name brands. Now it's your turn to tell us what you think. Tweet your Harry's experience to me at BobSeska_go on Twitter with the hashtag Harry's Experience, and I'll read your tweets on the show. Do what I and over a million others have done. Men and women, make the switch to shaving products from Harry's.com. And now the blades go right from the factory to your door without any middleman. That's how Harry's took the sting out of blades. And you can stand up against overpriced store-bought blades in their protective glass display cases with Harry's razors. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANDC, that's BNC for Bob and Chez, for $5 off your first Harry shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs, ladies, with Harry's razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You find me another pop song from the 80s that sounds like this.
None of them did. That's the thing. He had a completely unique sound. By the way, I will argue with one tiny, tiny thing. I don't think that Prince in 2007 was the greatest halftime show.
What was the greatest halftime show?
U2, 2002.
Okay.
Oh. Right after 9/11.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, yeah,
that
you're right.
Was that
you're
was
right.
Just that had me on my knees.
Yep.
Like literally, I was bawling.
That's absolutely true. It's absolutely right. I mean, the obviously the Prince halftime show
but Prince is a badass. Just musically, certainly nothing since that U2 performance has even come close in terms of a quality performance at a halftime show.
Right, and of course,
Super Bowl halftime show.
There was obvious significance to that. I think. I think it'd be difficult for any recording artist to compete with the long shadow of the 2002 halftime show. And, you know, I mean, Prince performing in the rain, which was
incredible.
I mean,
so badass.
I mean, how do you plan something? You can't plan anything like that. The guy whose, you know, most famous album was called Purple Rain is performing at a halftime show by himself, and it starts raining, for God's sake. And then, of course, they bring up all the lights during the song Purple Rain. They bring up all the LED screens, everything like that, are all purple. The bordering of the stage, all the lights and everything are purple. And it's effing raining.
Yeah.
And there's some documentary footage that the YouTube account for the NFL posted today of that clip. And then the guys talking about how the producers of that halftime show talking about how they contacted Prince before the show and said, well, look, you know, you've got your halftime show here. It's going to be pouring down rain. Is there anything we can do for you? And Prince's response was, make it rain more.
Yeah.
The guy's like, okay, sure, you bet. But the other funny Prince clip is actually Kevin Smith talking about the time he, you know, Kevin Smith is like Zelig. He ends up bumping into all these celebrities and has a great story about each and every one of them. And one of his stories is about Prince and about how he was trying to get a Prince song for Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And so he arranges a phone call with Prince. And when it was time to do the phone call, he gets a call from Prince's assistant. Says, "Yeah, okay, Prince is going to be calling you in 20 minutes." So he sits there by his phone, waits for 20 minutes. Then after 25 minutes rolls by, the phone rings again, and it's Prince's assistant. And Kevin Smith picks up the phone and says, "Hello," and says, "Oh yeah, Prince is going to be calling you in approximately 19 minutes." Okay. And so 19 minutes rolls by and the guy says, guy calls again and says, okay, Prince is going to be calling you at home. So go home and wait for Prince's phone call. And so, of course, Kevin Smith did, and he went home, and, you know, he's waiting by the phone for Prince to call, and he's tapping his fingers on the desk and just waiting for the phone to ring. And finally, Prince calls, and Prince was apparently a very spiritual man. According to Kevin Smith, very, very into Jesus, and
yes.
I ended up,
yeah, that was well known.
And yeah, I basically ended up testifying to Kevin Smith on the phone for the better part of an hour, to the point where he was saying to Kevin Smith that he doesn't like all the profanity in Kevin Smith's movies. And of course, Kevin Smith is dropping the F-bomb left and right of the phone call. It's every time Prince has to go, Kevin, the language. And so finally, the whole conversation ends. They hang up the phone. Kevin Smith realizes that he never asked. He completely forgot to ask Prince whether or not he could use the song in Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. I think it's The Most Beautiful Woman in the World. I think that was the song he wanted to use. And so he has to call Prince back and ask him again. And then, of course, after having this entire conversation about Jesus and divinity and faith, and then also they were talking about Kevin Smith shooting a documentary for this special show that Prince was going to put on in Minneapolis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He forgets to ask for the song, and he has to call back and ask for the song. And, of course, Prince's answer was no. No, sorry. No way you're using the song in Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back because, of course, you know, the obscenity. So he said no way. I thought that was a funny story. So that's on YouTube, and I'm sure there'll be lots more as time goes on here.
Yeah, go look for the Questlove story. That's another winner.
All right,
Questlove story about his interaction with Prince.
I mean, it's kind of shocking. I think a lot of people are talking about how terrible 2016 has been for recording artists. I mean, I would actually go back to 2015. And include some deaths in 2015. Of course, one of the rock star deaths that was closest to me was the death of Chris Squire from Yes back in, I believe it was June of 2015. I think that really started this thing where, you know, some of the greatest recording artists of our time are just dropping like flies, with the latest one being obviously Prince, and before that David Bowie, and then there was Lemmy, and then there was, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on. And I guess, I don't know. I mean, it's not that we're necessarily, I mean, we are getting older, that's for sure. Yes. But, you know, with someone like Prince, 57 years old, and it was the flu.
Yeah, I know. That's, yep.
The flu, tragic, for God's sake. Jesus Christ. All right, so that's that. I think we got to jump into some politics here. I think, by way of a segue, you know, they're talking about the new faces on the $20 bill. And as far as the faces on the $20 bill go, they're replacing Andrew Jackson with Harriet Tubman, except that Andrew Jackson is going to go on the other side of the $20 bill. So I don't quite see how
they really are doing that. I didn't,
Yeah, they're totally doing it. I mean,
that's kind of funny.
Yeah. Harriet Tubman.
It's kind of like horrific when you think about it, because wasn't he like this terrible racist?
Yeah, he was not only a terrible racist, but he was a genocidal maniac. I mean, the guy was certifiably insane. I mean, Andrew Jackson was a crazy person. I mean, if people talking about Trump today, Andrew Jackson, far worse than Trump. And what's hilarious is to now hear Andrew Jackson, a standard bearer of the early Democratic Party, being defended by Republicans.
Right.
That's hilarious. So we're gonna dive into that. But what I was going to suggest is, instead of Andrew Jackson remaining in some way on the $20 bill, just put Prince on there.
There you go.
What the hell? Might as well do that. All right, we're going to take
a
break.
That's a fine idea.
We're going to get into the Harriet Tubman $20 bill, Andrew Jackson business right after this.
Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Oh, hi, after I cough up a lung here. No, I'm not getting the flu. Second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, go and buy all of Prince's albums if you don't at Amazon.com. Enter the site using our link at BobSeska.com just below the logo, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for supporting the show, and especially Harry's Razors at Harry's.com. All right. So, now, it was touch and go there for a while. They were talking about doing something with Alexander Hamilton on the $10 bill.
Guess what? Alexander Hamilton is having a moment.
Yeah. It's like, it's kind of Alexander Hamilton's time, isn't it?
Lin-Manuel Miranda single-handedly saved Alexander Hamilton on the $10 bill.
That's right. And it's funny how the existence of that show
That show's a fucking dynamo.
Yeah, it really is. And it's such a dynamo that it's actually changing the face of our money.
Yeah.
Where it's preserving Alexander Hamilton, who, by the way, wasn't a president. I see a lot of people talking about, well, he was a president. He should remain on the $10. Alexander Hamilton was never a president. He was not. He was the first Secretary of Treasury and kind of invented our monetary system in the United States and so forth, but he was never president of the United States. But suffice to say, so they're kind of leaving the $10 bill alone, and they're going to put Harriet Tubman on the front of the $20 bill. Jack Lew announced the other day, today I'm excited to announce, Jack Lew, the Treasury Secretary, today, I'm excited to announce for the first time in more than a century, the front of our currency will feature the portrait of a woman, Harriet Tubman, on the $20 note. And in case you don't know, Harriet Tubman not only rescued, I think, single-handedly, I think it was something like 70 slaves from slavery and transported them to the North. She also became a voice for women's suffrage and maybe perhaps the greatest activist in American history, who also got a load done in the process.
Imagine that.
Jack Lew continues, her incredible story of courage and commitment to equality embody the ideals of democracy that our nation celebrates and will continue to value her legacy by honoring her on our currency. Now that's obviously good news. The good news is also that we're losing this genocidal maniac Andrew Jackson off our money. There is no reason whatsoever, especially considering how we fought genocide in World War II, how Andrew Jackson could have possibly remained on our money. I don't care if he's one of the founders of the Democratic Party. I don't care that he was elected to two terms and actually won the popular vote three times in a row. I don't care about any of that. The guy was a maniac. I don't care about the big goddamn block of cheese either, which is a staple. The big block of cheese story is a staple from my all-time favorite show, The West Wing. And I don't care about that. What should stick in everyone's mind about it, when you think Alexander Hamilton, when you look at your $20 bill and
Andrew
you see
Jackson.
Andrew Jackson, thank you. You see that you should see a guy who sentenced hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Cherokee to starvation and basically what amounts to a genocide. He was a slave owner on top of all of that. He engaged in duels. Now, granted, a lot of guys in that time fought in duels, but Andrew Jackson loved them. And if you love duels, there's something...
You're kind of a psychopath.
Exactly. There's something wrong with you.
You know what, though? You print the legend.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why he's on the 20.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, the whole idea that he's still there, knowing what we know now, might as well be like putting, like, Christopher Columbus on the money. You know, so, I mean, it seems like it's long past due that this change is made. And, of course, second Obama term... He's got no more F's left, so why not? Why not do this?
It was also fun to watch Breitbart literally explode.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the next big thing.
I feel bad to use, like, literally in a millennial sense, but yeah, it's just, I'm pretty sure I could see a mushroom cloud on the horizon.
Conservatives went bananas about this. I mean, easily one of their biggest freakouts, because, of course, it's coming from the Obama administration. Then yeah. George W. Bush changing Harriet Tubman to the $20 bill. Then great, they would have been all for it. But Donald Trump, for example, in a Thursday morning town hall, Trump called the move, quote unquote, pure political correctness, and said it's very rough to pull Jackson's likeness from the $20 bill. No, it's not very rough. It's actually kind of a copy and paste sort of thing. Ben Carson, appearing as a Trump campaign surrogate on Wednesday, said that while he loves Tubman, quote, we can find another way to honor her, right?
Oh, you know what we can do? We can drop a cake off at her grave. We'll bake a nice little cake. We'll put it there next to the headstone.
I'll drop by a Popeyes organization and bring Harriet Tubman some delicious coleslaw.
That is the kind of optically horrible, tone-deaf thing that Ben Carson would do. I'm going to put some fried chicken on her grave.
From a
big bucket of fried chicken.
from the same Popeyes organization where I thwarted that burgergler. All right, now it's time to take your $20 bill and pay for a ticket. A ticket on the Z train to Snoozeville. Climb aboard.
All right, Carson also praised Jackson, who ordered the forced relocation of nearly, 50,000 Native Americans as a tremendous president. Ben Carson is a tremendous president. Some pundits here reacting. Fox News' Greta Van Susteren, the conservative pundit, said the Obama administration kicked off a, quote, completely unnecessary fight that could have been avoided by giving Tubman her own denomination, like the $25 bill. Yeah, by the way, Ben Carson...
Why is it a fight? Why is it a fight?
It shouldn't be. I mean, this should be.
This
like,
is not.
No
yeah, this is. Yeah, it's not. This is not a fight.
Yeah, no, it's not. It is absolutely not. And by the way, Ben Carson wanted to put Harriet Tubman on the $2 bill. You know,
and
because
you know that if you ask 90% of the yokel jagoffs who are upset about this, who Andrew Jackson is, when he was president, any of that, you know, they don't know.
Yeah.
He's just a white guy.
Andrew Jackson was one of the Jackson Five. It was right. Tito, Jermaine, Michael, Andrew.
Action Jackson.
Kate Jackson. Yeah. Jesse Jackson was in there too. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she continued on to say they should make a $25 bill and put Harriet Tubman on the $25 bill.
To end this controversy, they should actually get rid of Andrew Jackson and put Samuel L. Jackson on the $20 bill.
That's right.
I, for one, would love to see Samuel L. Jackson on some of our currency.
In God we trust, motherfucker.
Yeah, bad motherfucker. put it in your bad motherfucker wallet.
Right. Let's see. Fox and Friends covered this issue. In fact, Fox and Friends went one better. Our favorite pundit on Fox News Channel, the Deucey in the Box.
No child wants to play with a Charlie in the Box.
Went out on the street and started asking people about whether or not Harriet Tubman should be on the $20 bill.
In New York City?
Yes, in New York City.
What kind of responses did he get?
Well, we're going to see. We're going to play that.
He stood outside of a mall in Orlando.
Right. Well, he was desperately looking for someone to say, this is just all about political correctness.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but no, of course, he didn't find any of that.
Of course not, because it's the middle of New York City.
But I mean, it's fait accompli. It doesn't matter anymore. It's happening. It's not up for debate. It's not up for Donald Trump or Ben Carson or Steve Deucey in the Box to determine whether or not Harriet Tubman is on the $20 bill. It's a decision that the Treasury Secretary makes, and that's how it goes. Sorry.
No child wants to play with a Charlie in the Box.
No, of course not. All right, we're going to take one last break and come back with this Steve Deucey man on the street nonsense right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the show, our Thursday show. Thanks for joining us today and supporting us at Patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Charlie Cook, Charles C.W. Cook, the guy from the National Review, tweeted out an alternative design for the Harriet Tubman $20 bill, and it's Harriet Tubman holding a pistol. And he tweeted, this would be a beautiful design because we've got to have, if we're going to do something like this, it's got to have some sort of pro-gun message to it, doesn't it? Someone else tweeted out, there's a meme going around, in fact, that says, slave-owning founder of the Democrat Party, replaced on the $20 bill by gun-toting Republican, life is good. And, of course, this misses everything, gets everything wrong. Yeah, I mean, Andrew Jackson was, in fact, a slave-owning founder of the Democratic Party.
They are unwilling to accept that the parties switched.
Yep. That's right. That's exactly right.
The ideology of the parties was swapped.
Well, and the fact of the matter is that there's no such thing as the Democrat Party. There's never been in the United States something called the Democrat Party. So whatever they're saying here in this meme, they're referring to a party that doesn't even exist. Like Andrew Jackson had nothing to do with a party called the Democrat Party. There's a party called the Democratic Party, and it stretches back to the early 1800s. And, of course, we have that today, the Democratic Party. There's no Democrat Party, but they like to use that because it's a mean girl's nitpicky thing that they can do. It's like, you know, it's like when I was a kid, they used to call me, when I get into a fight with someone, I'd be referred to as cesspool. Get that?
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And you got, what did you get? Like Desiree because of Chesser? What was something that you had to have gotten some sort of stupid name calling with your last name or your first name or something like that?
No, I think I got like chestnuts in a while. Which
Christ.
I guess that's creative.
But that's, yeah, but that's what the Democrat Party thing is like. It's like those stupid recess name-calling things.
Exactly, because they're children. They're fucking juvenile.
Right, but as you know, there was nothing about the Republican Party in, for example, the 1860s that resembled today's Republican Party. I mean, for God's sake, Abraham Lincoln invented the income tax. I mean, he invented the income tax. You've want to claim Reagan as Abraham Lincoln as the standard bearer for the Republican Party. Go by all means, the guy who invented the income tax.
Yeah,
have him. He's all yours, and I expect you to adopt his platform too. Thank you very much. Okay, so moving along here. Oh, one last thing about Prince. I forgot to do this. This is Wolf Blitzer. This is Wolf Blitzer announcing Prince's death.
I heard about this.
On CNN.
It's only beginning, Don, to set in that Prince is dead, that he's not going to be around. And he's been so active over all of these years, writing music, performing, soundtracks for major motion pictures. All of us, of course, remember Purple Haze and what that did for the world of music.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we all remember Purple Haze.
Purple Haze, yes.
And what that did. He said as little as he could say. Purple Haze. Yes, we all remember Purple Haze and what that did for music.
Yeah, he
music.
Really needs to just not talk. When you don't know what you're talking about, just don't talk.
Purple Haze.
You know, I remember when Cobain died.
Yeah.
You know, I was working in Miami at the time and I was working as a producer at a local station and we had the big debate over how it should be covered. And I told them flat out, I'm like, adults in the room, this needs two stories off the top.
Yeah.
The regular story and a sidebar. You don't understand what a big deal this is.
Right.
And it's like sometimes somebody who's got a clue has to go talk to the guy who just is completely, you know, it ain't his generation, and just say, look, dude, don't say anything or say this.
Right. I was just thinking, like, what Wolf Blitzer also says there about Purple Haze is it being, you know, and who can forget the importance that it was in the music and the thing. It almost exactly. sounds like Patrick Bateman talking about Huey Lewis and the News or Genesis, you can almost hear every nuance of every instrument. And then you expect Wolf Blitzer to say something like that. You're like, oh, yes, when I listened to Purple Haze, right? I could hear every nuance of every instrument.
It's just tragic.
All right. So moving along here. So, Deucey in the Box. Deucey in the Box went out on the street. We always,
no child wants to play with a Charlie in the Box.
Right. Deucey in the Box went out on the street on Fox and Friends this morning.
In the middle of Midtown Manhattan and tried to find really, really hardcore racists.
Yep, right in the middle of Midtown Manhattan. We were looking for people to say, Harriet Tubman, who needs her? Let's keep Andrew Jackson there, former member of the Jackson 5, Andrew Jackson. So here's kind of how the Ducey man on the street thing went, asking people about Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill.
All right, coming up on this Thursday, a big change for the $20 bill. The Treasury Department's going to replace President...
By the way, did you hear Kilmeade go,
Yeah. Yeah. Kilmeade's gone total Napoleon Dynamite.
That's right. I need some chapstick. My lips hurt real bad.
Yeah, he's not even with this.
You know, he's like, why are they replacing Reggie Jackson on the $20 bill?
Right.
Andrew Jackson with Harriet Tubman. So many of you are wondering, is...
Brian Kilmeade's going, it's my favorite superhero, the Tub mm-hmm. Man.
The Tub Man.
I'm a big fan of the Tub Man. Awesome.
I don't want to use a lot of hyperbole here.
The Treasury pandering to the PC police. I'm about to hit the streets to talk to the
there it is. Yes. There's the Fox News question.
Right.
Is this something completely horrific and incendiary that we're going to throw that in, throw out into the bloodstream?
Yeah, we're honoring one of the greatest Americans in history, and it's, you know, pandering to the PC police.
Of course.
Jesus Christ.
Because they're basically the voice of Donald Trump.
Exactly. There is just zero controversy to be had here. Zero controversy. Yeah,
there's none.
Oh, God.
By the way, let me tell you a little secret about Fox.
Okay.
That they love to tout that they're on the Avenue of the Americas. They put that in their address, you know, write to us, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They love to talk about that. There isn't a New Yorker anywhere who calls it the Avenue of the Americas.
Right.
It's Sixth Avenue.
Yes.
Nobody calls it the Avenue of the Americas.
That's right. That's right. But it's the Avenue of the Americas because they're all about America.
That's it exactly. Yeah. Because everything has to be, you know,
rah-rah, patriotism. Yeah, exactly.
See, police, I'm about to hit the streets to talk to the folks.
But I really do hope you hit the streets, Ducey. I hope you hit the streets after jumping off the top of the building.
Exactly. By the way, going into the segment, Brian Kilmeade didn't realize that Steve Ducey was talking, so they end up just talking over each other.
See, police, I'm about to hit the streets to talk to the folks on Avenue in the Americas.
Well, Steve Ducey's out and about, aren't you?
Let's see how this goes.
Hey, Steve, what are you doing outside?
Idiots.
Oops.
Idiots.
See how this goes. Glad you asked. Yesterday, I was on that side of the street, and my wife said the last guy I talked to looked like he was going to beat me up.
Yeah,
so
he did.
Today, let's see, because the story is about how they're going to replace...
Wow, Yorkers want to kill him.
I'm
shocked by that. I'm stunned.
Yeah, you would think that
your average New Yorker wants to beat the crap out of a guy who works for Fox News.
President Jackson on the 20 with Harriet Tubman. So... here's somebody who saw us, is a Fox fan. What's your name?
Karen Manesian.
Karen, so what do you think? You know, we had somebody earlier who said obviously they were looking to replace somebody on one of the bills with a woman. Is it time to put a woman on the currency?
It's a great idea to put a woman on the currency, but it's been so historical to have Andrew Jackson on the 20, so I think that wouldn't be a great idea to change.
Well, they're
going to
put him on the back.
It's his head. I don't know.
What a disaster.
I mean, it's like, okay, we're going to generate all kinds of controversy here. I mean, I can't believe they're replacing Andrew Jackson with Harriet Tubman. And it's like, well, let's ask this poor woman here who we're going to sucker into our Fox and Friends segment. And she's like, I don't know, this is such a good idea. And then suddenly Steve Ducey's like, well, they're going to put him on the back.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the controversy then? If he's still going to be on the 20 in some way, who cares then? Because
everything at Fox is so engineered.
Jesus Christ.
You know, like even it sounds crazy. Like it almost sounds like a conspiracy theory, but it's totally true. Listen to their language. Mm. Listen to them making sure that they say President Jackson.
Right.
That's very, very important in their messaging. But as for that woman that they got who managed to come back with a semi-sane answer, but also one that catered to what Fox wanted to say, a producer went out ahead of time and found her. Basically had – if Ducey talks to three people, those are three people that the producer lined up ahead of time.
And by the way, Republicans –
did three interviews with.
For God's sake, please keep circulating a meme that admits that Andrew Jackson was a slave owner in support of keeping Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill. Please keep doing, keep going. You're doing great. The phenomenal strategy there. Let's really underscore that he was a slave owner as you support Andrew Jackson's appearance on the $20 bill. Good job. Good job.
So Harriet Tubman will probably be on the 20 by the year 2020. But do you think the average person even looks at who's on the money and thinks about it?
Probably not. They'd probably just spend.
Then what is the point of protesting this?
Exactly.
If
why
no
are you,
one
why
cares.
Why are you daring to say it's the PC police?
Oh my God. This is so,
Fox, dude.
It's Fox and Friends. So goddamn dumb. Yeah. We're going to go out and we're going to see if the people are outraged by the existence. Oh, well, no one looks at money anyway. I mean, he's going to be on. It's like this is a huge outrage that Andrew Jackson is going to be replaced by Harriet Tubman. Oh, by the way, he's going to be on the back anyway. Oh, and oh, by the way, no one looks at their money anyway. So what the F is the controversy here then? So dumb.
What a moron.
All right, so that's it. He asks another guy, and the guy also says, well, no, I think the next guy he asks, it's a really successful segment for Fox and Friends. Next guy he asks says, well, I think you should take Andrew Jackson off of there because of the Trail of Tears. And I'm like, yes. Of course.
But he was president.
But he was the president. He was Andrew Jackson's part of the Democrat Party. Why doesn't anybody love the Deucey in the Box? Nobody loves me.
No child wants to play with a Charlie in the Box.
Oh, hey, by the way, are you going to be outraged about this? They're putting Harriet Tubman on the 20. But Andrew Jackson's going to be on the back, and no one looks at their money anyway, so who cares?
That whole show is just an exercise in utter stupidity.
Such a joke. Such a goddamn joke. All right, we're going to do the postmortem show coming up here in a couple of seconds. Going to talk about the New York primary results, what's happening next with the Democratic race. We're going to talk about, very brief thing about Hillary Clinton and hot sauce. That involves Fox and Friends, so just warning you on that. Oh my God, for the first time in a while, an Edward Snowden story on the show.
Boy, I bet Glenn Greenwald's all over that.
Plus Jon Stewart, maybe something about Alabama and something else about Colorado. I'm not going to reveal what those exciting things are. All right, you can sign up for the postmortem show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. If you sign up at the $5 level, you get the postmortem show. Sign up at the $10 level. You get the postmortem show and the after party, which we're going to be recording tomorrow, Friday. And if you sign up at the $15 level, you get the postmortem show, the after party, and an uncensored, commercial-free version of this show. And by the way, if you get that, it also has the postmortem show at the end of it. So if you're signed up at the $15 level, you don't have to download the postmortem show separately. Just keep listening to the Not Safe for Work commercial free show, and it'll segue seamlessly into the postmortem show at the end. Just passing that along. Okay, that's coming up next. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the after party on Friday. Bye-bye, folks.